Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com. Hey,
this is the Best of the Joe Show. Running back some of the best audio you've heard here on 560 over the past 24 hours. And it's the Labor Day edition. How you doing? I am Dan Labor Day. That's right, working on this day that you're supposed to have off because I'd rather just spend it with you. It's also a Miami Monday, so gonna tailor the show just a little extra Miami to make what usually is the worst day of the week, even though it is a holiday, just a little bit smoother. In a couple of minutes, gonna hear from the Joe Rose Show. They're talking to new Florida Panthers GM Bill Zito. Then we're getting some double Hawk and Crowder, although it's really just double Hawk because Crowder off today. Hawkman talking about the Heat series might be 3-1, but he's not upset. Then he'll do an interview with Mike Cugno talking more Heat culture. Plus, I'm going to have some Miami music for you throughout the show to help you kind of just get over, you know? It's Monday still, even though it is Labor Day. Right now, here's the headlines. The Dolphins have cut Josh Rosen and named Ryan Fitzpatrick starting quarterback. Fitzpatrick was also selected one of the team's eight captains. The Heat lost 118-115 in overtime to Milwaukee last night. Miami leads the series 3-1. The two play tomorrow at 6:30. The Lakers even their series at 1 last night, defeating Houston 117-109. Tonight at 6:30, it's Boston versus Toronto with the series tied at 2, while the Clippers and Nuggets square off at 9. Their series is even at 1. In the Canes' final fall scrimmage, De'Aaron King threw for 6 touchdowns, and getting ready for the season this Thursday against UAB. You can hear it right here on 560 The Joe. The Marlins opened a 3-game series by defeating the Braves today 5-4 in the 10th. Both teams are in the playoff race. French national Blaise Matuidi made his debut last night in a scoreless draw between Inter Miami and Nashville SC. Miami is back at it Wednesday against Atlanta United. After being named starting quarterback, Cam Newton says his fit in New England is a match made in heaven. The Dolphins face the Patriots Sunday at 1. The French Open will allow 5,000 fans to attend matches later this month. It is the first pro tennis tournament to have people in attendance. Sean Payton says the Saints tried to sign and trade for Jadeveon Clowney this past weekend, but the NFL nixed it. The defensive end is now with Tennessee. Tonight in college football, BYU plays Navy at 8. And now, let's go ahead and take a step into the day spa. An Austrian man recently broke a record by spending over 2.5 hours in a box full of ice wearing nothing but swim trunks. Can someone say shrinkage? A British company made a 35-foot-long puffed corn snack. Get in my belly! And with that being said, what is a puffed corn snack? A woman in Australia promises to honestly assess your male organ. All you have to do is send her a picture of it and $50. I say it's a small price to pay for peace of mind. A man recently bought and placed a $2,000, 12-foot-tall T-Rex gnome in his yard after his wife requested it to spruce up their garden. The woman was later heard saying, I should have just asked them to clean the garage. In an attempt to bat a fly, a French man recently burned down his house. His electronic fly swatter created a spark and ignited a fire from a gas leak. Didn't see that coming. Also today is Evan Rachel Wood's birthday. My hot mess of the day. Now on to weather. Tonight's forecast, rainy with temperatures around 80. Joe Rose Show recently caught up with the new general manager of the Panthers, Bill Zito. He is down from Columbus, Ohio, and he is going to make the Florida Panthers unbelievable. I'm telling you right now. So he talks about his relationship with Coach Q, fixing the Panthers, and getting Bobrovsky going.
Bill, I think everybody is just like, what do we need to do to get this thing turned around? And I guess the first question I have after watching your press conference yesterday is, Del Talon and Coach Quenneville were so close and worked together, not only with the Panthers, but Chicago going back. Have you had a chance to talk to Coach Quenneville about how he felt about everything and get on the same page with him?
I did. And prior to actually working for the Blue Jackets, I had been an agent living in Chicago. I have known Q sort of one person removed via the relationships since he came to Chicago, representing a number of guys on that 2010 team.
Right.
Certainly, we've interacted a number of times before, knew each other and been familiar with each other. We spoke the other night and had a really nice chat. We're both very, very enthusiastic moving forward.
Bill, I guess the big thing is everybody watched the playoffs and the disappointment of for the team. And I know you know their team very well, and you know all the other teams as well from your days with Columbus. Is it some of it not enough talent, not a deep enough depth on this team? How do you look at it right now overall and what this team needs to improve on?
As it is with most teams in most sports, it's a combination of talent and team and competitiveness. If you just talent alone, sometimes maybe it'll get you there. Generally not in hockey, but it could. But generally talent alone without being a true team or really competing won't get you there. With no talent, just a team probably doesn't get you there. So you need to have a little bit, at least a little bit of talent. And I think there's more than a little bit of that here. You need to have a team, people together, executing, and then you need to compete. And you need to have guys who love the game of hockey and who hate to lose. And that's what we're going to try to instill.
And Bill, with that said, I'd love your take on the roster. And of course, when the Panthers brass was evaluating you for this opportunity, you, of course, I'm sure were evaluating what this team already has. And I really like the core when you think about guys like Barkov and Huberdeau, and they have Bobrovsky and Nett, who you know from your time in Columbus. What are some of your takeaways on the pieces the Panthers already have in place?
I haven't had occasion to speak with Jonathan yet. He texted me last night and we tried to connect and weren't able to. But I spoke to Bob and I spoke to Sasha at length and was both of them were excited. Both of them had a lot of interesting opinions and focus about what they needed to do individually and what they could do to help the team move forward. They're both elite players. Bob, I don't know how well you know him, but he is the most prepared, hardest working guy you'll ever meet.
Wow.
And if there's a way for him to sort of elevate and get back and get his mojo, if you will, he'll do it. Sasha was excited. I talked to him. I got up early this morning and called him in Finland, and he was animated and talking and excited, and I'm really looking forward to talking to Jonathan today.
Let's get back to Bobrovsky for just a second there, Bill. Didn't have a great first year. There's no secret. I don't know if he was, you know, nicked up or what it was. How do we get him going again? What needs to change? I never felt like he really got it going at any point.
Well, I can't tell you specifically what needs to change. You know, I come in and say, well, I need to change this, I need to change that, I need to really focus and talk to him and assess. Generally, Bob does a good job of self-evaluation, and it may just be he needed some time to adjust. A different scheme, a different team. He'd been in Columbus a long time. It took us a while, but we had a very, very consistent, reliable, for a goaltender, understandable defensive set, both with the defenseman and the forwards. So it could be any number of things, and I think he's focused and prepared. I'm very optimistic.
Bill, let me ask you about working with Coach Quenneville. I mean, the resume obviously speaks for itself on what he's been able to do. Is it about working together with him, or is like he's got probably some of his own ideas on what he'd like to change a little bit? How will you two work together? How closely?
I think it'll be a daily interaction. It'll be a pleasure and an honor to work with him and learn from him. You speak to Joel for a minute, and the passion just jumps from him into you. the passion for the game. And it's wonderful to talk hockey.
Yeah, I know a lot goes into the evaluation process, but with the core of players, do you think this team is in more of a need of maybe sprinkling in some veterans with winning experience, or if finding some younger players, whether it be through the draft or younger guys in trades and free agency, is more the priority?
Well, it's both, but the unique thing about the marketplace in professional hockey is you have to see what the marketplace yields. You may say, well, I'd really like to get this talented young player, a big right winger who is a physical presence and a goal scorer, and it's not there. But there might be a veteran, sort of physical guy who can score goals. Is that going to address our needs at the right price and the right situation, and or vice versa? Well, I could use a veteran, but there's this young guy who might really develop into the role. I think he's about to burst. He showed leadership tendencies. So you have to sort of compare and contrast, juxtapose your needs against what's available, because you just can't make it up if it doesn't exist.
This thing still goes back to the draft, right? And like other sports, I know we talk in football all the time, you got to hit on draft picks. Is that going to be, obviously you got a big draft coming up. I think we draft 12th overall. How big is that going to be going forward to develop our own?
Yeah, that's the key, right? So that's your chance to get your elite players. They're very, very difficult to trade for, as you can just see across the league. No one wants to trade their elite players, and why would they, right? The draft is your opportunity to get them, and then once you get them, to nurture them and develop them and help those players maximize their potential and play on your team. It's also important to get contributions from young players in the entry-level system as you win. With regard to the salary cap, you want to have contributions from those lower salary guys.
How do you feel about our minor league right now, our minor league prospects that we have that haven't quite come up yet? We in good shape? Is it rich or not where it needs to be?
Well, I guess you say you're never content. You always want to get better. But the franchise is now moving to Charlotte, which is very exciting. It's a great place to play hockey. It's a little bit closer, direct flights. And one of the things about the development that's very important is we would call it touches from management. So the guys who are playing in the American League know they're relevant. They know that there's interest. They know that any given night, if you're the guy, you have a chance. And we're going to create that environment so they know exactly where they stand, and they know they're supported, and they know that they're in the plans.
I can imagine you've been really busy in recent days with all you have going on with this new opportunity, but have you had a chance to watch some of these recent playoff games with some great series going on? Do you find the time to be able to take in and watch all the hockey, or do you sometimes have some really late nights scrambling to watch these on the DVR?
Well, the last two nights, it's been hard. And prior to that, you know, when we get out of the bubble, you know, I was, of course, watching all of them. And in the bubble was wonderful. That was a hockey paradise, because you're getting three live NHL games a day with the TVs in the suite. So we're watching the Western games, you know, in between there's a break in the action or between the periods. And then you walk up and down the hall, and then populating all the other suites of the GMs and the staff of the other clubs. And it was nonstop NHL hockey. It was like fantasy camp. It was wonderful.
Bill did a lot of work. We talk about this with the NBA, too, with the offseason, obviously, right around the corner when these are over. Is there a lot of business talk? Is it a chance to, I mean, everybody knows who free agents are and who's up and who's disgruntled and who's happy and all that stuff. You guys able to get any business done in those things? Are people working behind the scenes in that gray area a little bit?
You mean with regard to free agents or trades?
I'm talking with the whole group of you guys being a small fraternity and all knowing each other and being able to talk about all that stuff. Yeah,
absolutely. There's, trades happened yesterday, right? Alan went to Montreal.
That's
and,
right.
And business is going on. It's going on right now. And one of the things I'm tasked with is in the next 24 to 48 hours, reaching out to the GMs and checking in and saying, hey, okay. You know,
yeah.
The door's open, curtains are they're up, and we're in business here. What's going on?
Hey, Bill, let me ask you, what do you say to Panther fans? Because everybody was jacked up last year. We got our goalie, we got a coach that's been there and done it, and he's done more winning, he's got championships, and it didn't work out again. What do you say going forward to the Panther base down here, fan base?
You know, words are cheap. We won't be outworked. That's the first thing I'll say. We will not be outworked. We will have a plan, and we will instill 100% effort from the management of this team to give these players everything we can do to help them win. And I know from talking to them and from talking to Q, these guys want to win, and that's what we're going to try to do.
How nice is it to be able to, and you talked a little bit earlier about, you know, wanting to learn things from Coach Q. I mean, to be able to take over this job as general manager, but the value of having someone with his experience to be able to work hand in hand with.
It's great. And I had the luxury, I kind of had a double luxury, because I took over Cleveland in the American League, and it was Jared Bednar and myself. And we were winging it. And we had a bunch of young talent. We rebuilt the D, and it was sort of trial by error in a lot of situations. And we learned from each other. I learned a tremendous amount from Jared. Many things that I really didn't understand that I learned until years later, and went on and won the championship and developed players and developed coaches. It was great. With Torts, it's been a completely different set of learning from his experience and the way he does things and interacting with him. And I think it's really prepared me to now, the most important thing is to listen. Just listen and then digest it and react from there. So really, really excited.
Bill, thank you so much, man. Good luck with everything. I know you got a big draft coming up here that's so important going forward. It'll be your first with the Panthers. We really appreciate you spending some time with us. Thank you so much.
Anytime. Thanks, guys.
No other show is going to give you Labor Day hockey. Two things that just don't seem to go together, but heck, it's South Florida. Anything goes. Joe Rose Show going to be back tomorrow, 6 to 10, right here on 560 The Joe. Speaking of unique shows, Hawk and Crowd are always very unique.
I will tell you this. I'm not angry about yesterday's Heat game. I didn't feel angry when it went to overtime. I didn't feel... Now, there's a couple things at play, I'm guessing, which is this. You're up 3-0 in a best-of-7 series. You're not going to lose that series.
Let's go, Heat, in about 5 minutes. Plus, it's a Miami Monday, so I got some good Miami music for you on the way here on the Best of the Joe Show. She got her start in the school choir, sang at the Boys and Girls Club. Always loved the Boys and Girls Club. She's even been on the TV series Brave New Voices and sung the national anthem at a Miami Marlins game. Only 20 years old, college student here in South Florida, majoring in political science. Mark the tape. This is the first place you're going to hear her, but you're going to hear her a lot in the future. Savannah Christina, Florida Boy. Speaking of a Florida boy, Mark Hochman, he's on with Crowder weekdays from 2 to 6. Today it was just Hawk talking about the Heat. It may be a 3-1 series. He's not upset. Also, getting ready for some football and a little Rosen for nothing.
This stuff is hard, and you got to stay together if you got the guts, and you don't find the first door and run out of it.
All right, it's a special Labor Day edition of Hochman and Crowder, and we were not supposed to be on the air today. We were taking a vacation day, but I was texting with Solana after the game yesterday. He was part of the virtual fan, and we decided, you know what? We'll have a special Labor Day show, a 2-hour spectacular. So if you're hearing this right now around 2 o'clock, you're hearing it live. And if you're hearing this at 4 o'clock, you're hearing the replay of the 2-hour special show that we did today. Crowder's out fishing today. He had made it clear last week there was no chance he's coming in. And then tomorrow, he's getting a vasectomy. So he will be off tomorrow as well. Today's his last day fishing as a man. And then he'll get his vasectomy, and then he'll do the rest of the shows. However, I wonder if his personality will change.
I was about to ask you that. Like, what like, is this going to be a new Crowder? Like, a I don't know.
I don't know. You neuter a dog, or like, I don't know what happens. Sometimes the personality changes. So we shall find out on Wednesday when he's back with us. So here we go on a Labor Day spectacular. As I said, I will tell you this: I'm not angry about yesterday's Heat game. I didn't feel angry when it went to overtime. I didn't feel... Now, there's a couple things at play, I'm guessing, which is this. You're up 3-0 in a best-of-7 series. You're not going to lose that series. You're just not. And so even when there was that, you know, they went to the replay and it was obvious that Jimmy Butler was fouled, but they couldn't change that part of the replay. Like, even the frustration that was there on something like that, when it was all said and done, I wasn't angry about yesterday's Heat game. I felt really good about Tyler Hero. He had three big threes. I mean, a couple at the end that just is a big time player shot. And he's a 20-year-old kid. So I felt really good about him coming out of the game, knowing that there were a couple times during the game where he literally just got big boyed and got the ball taken from him from a stronger player. But that'll come. Chris Middleton willed that Milwaukee team to a victory. Giannis was playing out of his mind before he got hurt. But Chris Middleton willed that Milwaukee team to a victory. So I'm not mad. I know a lot of people were angry that, A, it went to overtime, and that in overtime against a Milwaukee team that doesn't have Giannis and you're at full strength, that you can't put him away for 5 minutes. Like, I get that part of the frustration, especially because that'll mean a lot of days off to rest and get real healthy for when the Eastern Conference Finals would start. But I wasn't angry. I don't know. What were you, Solana? How'd you feel after that game?
I mean, I wasn't happy, but I put it into context. This is the first game this Heat team has lost that they're actually trying to win in, what, 3 weeks? I mean, this team has been playing incredible basketball. You didn't like the way it ended, and you don't like to remember that you just lost to a team without the two-time or soon-to-be two-time MVP, reigning Defensive Player of the Year award winner. You wish you could have taken advantage. I look like a fool bringing out the brooms the entire virtual fan, and they end up not needing the brooms. But it's okay. I'm with you. I'm not getting crazy. I don't think we're going to lose in seven, the first team ever to go up 3-0 and blow it. I think this will end in a gentleman's sweep tomorrow, Hawk.
That's what I feel. I feel it'll end in a gentleman's sweep. I'm not nervous at all that somehow Milwaukee has found that proverbial eye of the tiger, and they are now going to be able to figure it out. Miami's a better team. They've shown you through four games, Miami's a better team. Milwaukee just gutted one out yesterday, and that's fine because, like Solana just said, if you put it in context, the Miami Heat have played eight playoff games. They got squeaked out of one of them in overtime. If you keep it in context, everything is fine. So we've got that. We've got Canes football this week. We've got Dolphins football this week. Next week, on a day like today, a Monday next week, we'll be thinking about Monday Night Football. Like, we are here. It's happening. There's a ton going on. The Hurricanes, they showed their depth chart. So it's De'Aaron King as your number one quarterback, and it'll be Nikosi Perry as the number two. And I think the transfer, forgetting his name right now,
Tyler Van Dyke.
Tyler Van Dyke is the number three. So what happened to that kid from Ohio State?
No idea. I mean, he's still on the roster.
Tate Martell. I forgot his name. Like, literally, what happened to him? Is he anywhere?
Still on the roster. Has one completed pass in his Canes career. That's 7 yard out and, in the bowl game.
Right, and look terrified the entire game that he threw the pass. And then Miami Dolphins made official today. I'm sure I'm stealing your headlines here. Miami Dolphins made official that Ryan Fitzpatrick is the quarterback. In fact, let's do headlines here. Here is Alejandro Solana with the headlines. You're the clown this time.
I really am.
Dude was in the virtual crowd. You know, you got to, and I'm going to get the story later on in today's show of how you do that and what it was like. But he did sit there in the virtual crowd with his broom and had to eat it at the end of the game. That's all right. What are you going to do?
It was almost so perfect too, because I was above the Bucks bench. So I felt like I was going to come
out
a lot. And,
I saw you.
Yeah. Didn't work out the way I wanted it to.
Listen, you gave it the old college try.
So the Heat did lose 118 to 115 in overtime. Game 5 is tomorrow, 6:30 p.m. Heat are favored again, Hawk, in this game. And Kevin Harlan and Reggie Miller, they're on the call tomorrow for Heat Bucks. Did I lose you already? Are you playing a practical joke on me?
No, what happened? Did I cut out?
Oh, man. This is not good. Yeah, you're
did I cut out?
Just a tad there for a second.
Because I heard what you said. I said, did the Heat are a 3.5-point favorite, right?
Yeah. The Dolphins did name Fitzy.
I had a funny practical joke. Do I sound okay, or do I need to reconnect?
No, you're good. You're good. Go ahead.
So last night after the game, I texted Solana and I said, hey, let's go on the air on Monday. We're supposed to have a vacation day. The station had a best of Hawk and Crowder scheduled, and we like doing the best ofs because they're fun. But I said, you know what? Let's go on the air because people are so ratcheted up right now about this Heat game. We'll do a couple of hours, and then you can replay it. And so Salon was like, okay, well, you know, no problem. And then today I said, oh, okay, we've got some, I booked some guests. Mike Cunio is going to come on. Dave Hyde's going to come on, blah, blah, blah. We go about the whole thing. And so Salon actually goes into the studio to do today's show. And then he always texts me right before, because we connect through a system. And he always texts me when it's time for me to connect. So he texts, 10 minutes before the show starts. Okay, connect. And I text him back. Oh, this was an elaborate practical joke. I'm on the beach. Which is where I was supposed to be today. And then I just wrote, have a nice show. And I didn't connect. And I could just imagine the sweat building up on his forehead, thinking, oh my God, did he just... Because that would have been a funny, practical joke.
Yeah, it would have been hilarious.
It would have been funny. You have to admit it. Funny's funny. That would have been a funny, practical joke that I set you up. Hey, come on, let's do the show. You're like, okay, fine. It's a vacation day, but we're going to do it anyway. And you go in to do the show, and I'm on the beach, and you have to do the show alone without any prep. Somebody texts in, I'm very glad you guys are on. Is there a picture of Solana in the virtual crowd? Can you post it on Instagram? I know you had tweeted it yesterday, right?
Yeah, I can. I'll post some now to Instagram as well.
Put it on Instagram. What's your Instagram, Alex? M. Solana?
Yep, Alex M. Solana.
Alex M. Solana with an A. He will post some pictures. You can see him right there in the virtual crowd with DJ M. Dot in the same group.
I already mentioned Ryan Fitzpatrick starting quarterback week one versus the Patriots. The Dolphins, they made some roster moves. They cut down the roster to 53 on Saturday. Here's how you know this season is already going to play out better than next season, Hawk. The Dolphins did not claim a single player that was cut by another team over the weekend, which already leads you to believe this team feels they're better. If you remember last season, what, like 15% of the roster
was
just
crazy.
Waiver claims before week one.
It was crazy. Yeah. Remember that? We could not believe that the week before the season started. It was like they claimed like 20 people off the waiver wire. And yeah. We were like, we are in for something we've never seen before. But yeah, I feel good about the Dolphins season. I'm not going to lie. I'm very excited to be talking about them this week. Yeah. And I'm happy Ryan Fitzpatrick was named the starter. I don't think that necessarily means he'll be the starter the entire season. But I think he probably gives them the best chance to win right now, which I'm all for. And secondly, it gives Tua Tagovailoa a little bit of time to be out there on the field in NFL games, watching how Brian Flores calls it and how Ryan Fitzpatrick reacts to things. And you know Ryan Fitzpatrick is going to be a tutor to him. So I think it works out well for the Dolphins.
Speaking of the Dolphins quarterback room, Josh Rosen on Friday night was cut by the
Wild.
Miami Dolphins. He cleared waivers. He signed with the Tampa Bay Buccaneers practice squad.
Wild. I mean, wild that a quarterback that was drafted with the 10th overall pick by a team that traded up to get him and then gets traded to a team willing to give up a second round pick the next year to get him ends up being waived for nothing and then ends up on a practice squad. Holy hell.
If you're thinking or if you're wondering who the Dolphins' third string quarterback will be, well, they signed Jake Rudock to their practice squad. Yeah.
Love him. Makes me feel comfortable. That's comfort food right there.
Back to the NBA, the Lakers, they tied up that series against the Rockets 117-109 last night. Rajon Rondo, big minutes for the Lakers, by the way.
Yeah. Yep.
Tonight in the NBA, Game 5, 6:30 p.m. It's Celtics-Raptors. We know
what's
that series.
What's going on there?
It's tied 2-2. And Game 3, Clippers-Nuggets, 9 p.m. That series tied 1-1.
All right. Anything else?
Locally, Inter-Miami, they drew 0-0.
What's going on there?
To Nashville yesterday.
Jeez.
Blaze Matuidi, their newest signing, he made his debut for the club. He played 78 minutes. Pretty good debut for Matuidi. They host Atlanta United on Wednesday, and the Marlins, they lost 2 of 3 to the Rays over the weekend. Actually, they're playing right now against the Atlanta Braves. I'll get you a score update after Mike Cunio. They begin a 3-game set in Atlanta. Tomorrow they play as well later in the afternoon. Those are your headlines.
They're playing against the Braves. So this Marlins Rays game that I'm watching is, oh yeah, look at that. It does say replay on. I did it. Grandpa did it again.
No, but it's not. Right. It's not a replay. It's live right now.
Not the Miami Rays game that
right.
I'm watching.
Right. Yeah.
Yeah. This is a replay.
It's incredible that the Marlins game against the Braves right now is only on YouTube TV for some reason, but they're
right.
showing
the
replay.
I'm watching the replay on Tampa, Fox Sports Tampa, because the Rays must not have a game right now.
Right.
But I thought I was watching a live Marlins game because. Oh, my God. Grandpa's at it again.
Oh man.
Get Grandpa's pudding.
During this quarantine, Hawk has turned into a grandpa. He needs to watch the replay. Replay at the top of the screen. It usually tells you. He gets carried away. He's like, oh, my goodness. It's just like the other night. No, it is the other night's game, Hawk. If you like replays, I got some more Hawk for you.
The number one seed in the East, you can't mess around with that. I know no team has ever come back from 3-0, but guess what? No team ever came back from 3-1 in the NBA Finals until it happened.
Got Hawk talking with Mike Cugno about Heat culture. Plus, it's a Miami Monday, so I got some good Miami music for you on the way here on the Best of the Joe Show. Welcome back to the Best of the Joe Show, running back some of the best audio you've heard here on 560 over the past 24 hours. I am Dan Labor Day, laboring on a Labor Day, but it's all good because I've got this Miami Monday going and some sweet sounds from South Florida's own Savannah Christina. This is Goldmine. That's some smooth sounds right there from Miami's own Savannah Christina. She was born here in Miami, but grew up in Fort Lauderdale. Nothing but love right there. Loving the music from that 20-year-old college student here in South Florida. Poli-sci major. She's got a future in music and in politics. Maybe president one day. She can be inaugurated to this song. Savannah Christina. Mark Hawkman, he makes sweet sounds on the radio from 2 to 6, but not singing at least. He makes sweet sports talk sounds. Earlier today, he caught up with Mike Cugno talking, there's a bad Duran Duran song? Nervous about the Heat? What Game 5 attitude needs to be taken by Miami? And who impressed and disappointed this past game.
Special Labor Day, Hawkman and Crowder. What the hell is this song, Solana?
What happens tomorrow, Duran Duran? I'm playing all songs that have to do with tomorrow because tomorrow is Heat in 5 Day.
Ah, okay. Yeah, this one's terrible.
You don't like Duran Duran?
I love Duran Duran. I've never heard this song, and I've been listening to Duran Duran since 1985.
This is my favorite Duran Duran song. Crank it!
Liar. Next time, let me know if you need some songs about tomorrow. I'll help you out so that this crap doesn't get played on the air. Oh, my goodness. It is time for 15 minutes of Heat. Mike Cugno is a sports anchor and reporter here at CBS4 in Miami. And he also hosts Dolphins Weekly on CBS4, which I was watching this weekend. Hello, Mike.
What's up, guys? You know, isn't Duran Duran kind of has like a distinct sound, don't they? I feel like I grew up listening to them from my dad, but I didn't understand what the hell that was either.
Yeah, no, Duran Duran is a very recognizable sound. That was a departure. I don't know.
Yeah.
Like that was, I think they were just goofing around in the recording studio. They said, well, no one's going to hear this. We'll
put it,
this will be the 13th track on the CD. No one will get this far. And sure as bleep, Solana pulls it out. So what are you calling today, Solana? Tomorrow Monday?
Tomorrow Monday, because it's Heat in 5 Day tomorrow, Cugno.
Why didn't you have songs about five, maybe?
Not too many songs about five, are there?
Well, based on the song you just played from Duran Duran, there's not a lot of songs about tomorrow.
You could have gone in any direction. You could have played just a random song, and no one would have questioned it. Just as a nice,
right.
rejoin.
Like instead of having like this, it was like, what's that Tom Hanks movie that no one can figure out? It's like, instead of having a riddle, I just have a good song. It's Labor Day. People are listening. They want to hear something upbeat.
Lost in translation.
Damn it, no, I don't want to work on Labor Day, and you're making me work. You're making my brain work, Solana.
So are you, Mike, are you upset by the Heat's loss yesterday? Because when I started the show, I said, look, I'm not even mad at it. It is what it is. You want to get the win, but whatever. I'm just not mad at it. Are you upset by it?
Scheduled loss.
Scheduled loss.
Yeah, actually, you know what? It does concern me a little bit, and here's why. If Giannis was to return, and I don't know. I mean, we saw the reports today that he's limping around the bubble and stuff. But let's say that injury wasn't that significant. They just had to hold him out for one game. Now you're giving a team with the best player in the league a bunch of life and feeling that they're not out of it. So it does concern me. Now, if Giannis wasn't hurt to the extent where it seems like he's going to be a toss-up for Game 5. It seems like he was a toss-up for Game 4.
Right. And even if he plays tomorrow, you would assume it's not 100% regardless.
Right. But, yeah, I mean, when you have a moment to end the number one seed in the East, you can't mess around with that. I know no team has ever come back from 3-0, but guess what? No team ever came back from 3-1 in the NBA Finals until it happened. So you don't want to give a team life. So and Chris Middleton has been playing very well throughout this series. He's been one of their top scorers, and he goes off. Now he's rolling. So it does give me a little bit of concern, and maybe that's just me, having that kind of almost maybe the Heat mentality where now you can't take anything lightly. Now you got to go into that game 5 as if it's as pressure packed as game 1 was.
Right. I don't dispute that. I'm kind of with you on that. Like, if you have a chance to put someone away, and it's Giannis goes out, like, yeah, you got to take advantage of that situation. But yeah, it just doesn't scare me. Like, even yesterday, people were freaking out on social media when they had that replay on the Jimmy Butler possession, and you noticed that he was fouled, right. But they couldn't change that call. And I was like, okay, whatever. Like, you're gonna get one of these games. Like, this is the only game they've gotten in 8 playoff games where not everything went their way. And to be quite honest, even at the end with Tyler Hero hitting those big threes, like, things were still kind of going their way. I just feel like they're so far ahead of the game right now. Like, I didn't come out of that game going, Milwaukee found what it takes to win against this Heat team.
Right.
I think Chris Middleton willed them to a implausible victory. But I mean, you tell me that they can do that 3 more times in a row. I don't see it.
Right. I mean, and that's the tough part about it. Milwaukee would have to win in total 4 straight. But what gives me pause for concern is I look at the way Milwaukee was able to win that game, going slightly smaller. And let's say it's not that big of a deal and Miami moves on after game 5 or after game 6 and they end up playing just for kicks or just throw out a team. Let's say they end up playing Boston. Boston worries me because the lineup that they trot out on a daily basis reminds me of the lineup that Milwaukee was playing with yesterday without Giannis, where you have those kind of 3 and 4 guards running everything. A team like Boston, yes, Jason Tatum is a forward, but he's a guy who can handle the ball. And then you got Marcus Smart, you got Jaylen Brown, and you got Kemba Walker. And you got that for an entire series. That worries me when Milwaukee is able to do what they did to Miami yesterday with that smaller lineup. Now, was Miami taking it off because they felt, hey, Giannis is out, maybe we'll coast to win? Probably, and they probably admit that themselves, and maybe they put the clamps down for the next game, and it's a completely different story whether Giannis is there or not. But for me, if I'm looking ahead, I take a look at that game and go, you know what? Was there a game plan there that an opponent maybe exposed Miami?
And Mike, you mentioned the smaller lineups. It's such a great point. It was clear that smaller lineup was just giving the Heat major problems. But if we don't look ahead, we look to just game 5.
Mm-hmm.
Do you see Miami making like major adjustments, especially if Antetokounmpo is either out or if he's being played in limited spurts? Like, do we see major adjustments?
Even when he's healthy, he gets played in limited spurts.
Right.
I don't understand.
Or do we just chalk that game up to, again, Middleton played his heart out, right? He willed them to victory, and what Miami's been doing doing will continue to work for them?
Well, at the end of the day, I think it's a reality check and maybe a little bit of a gut check, because now you had Giannis in there and he was the focal point of everything, and you were playing him playing the Bucks a certain way for 3.5 straight games, and it was working, right? Now I think you trust Spo enough to be like, look, we saw what happened with the smaller lineup. Now we're going to have to adjust. So now we go into these games with not just a game plan A for Giannis and the rest of the Bucks. Now we have a game plan B if it's Chris Middleton and the Bucks. So that's where you end up having to, you got to trust Spo to be, you know, the right coach and come up with the right plan for those situations. So that's where, again, I'm not concerned Miami's going to lose the series. My concern is more so going forward. Now, let's say the Bucks get this game 5 tomorrow night. Now the pressure swings back towards Miami, and that's where you have to be concerned.
Right, which is obviously, like, Milwaukee will go into this as the one game at a time team. Like, hey, all we need to do is worry about getting this win tomorrow night, because that's what happened in the Toronto-Boston series, to be quite honest. I mean, that was one bucket away from being in our situation.
From being over.
All of a sudden, it's 2-2, and you don't know what's going on in that series anymore. Mike Cugno from CBS4 is with us. Couple of texts, Solana. Someone texted in, Solana, what about I Got 5 on It? That's a good song about 5. And someone tweets at me, what about Mambo Number 5, which is a classic song. Already we've come up with two better songs for Number 5 than you've come up with one song for tomorrow, which now seems like an ill-advised theme.
All right, I'll switch
it
up.
Subway $5 foot long song would have been a better choice than whatever that Duran.
$5 foot long. Who disappointed you for the Heat yesterday? Who impressed you yesterday for the Heat? I was very impressed with Tyler Hero. And by the way, I'm admitting, like, there were a couple times where he got the ball just flat out stolen from him by savvier veteran players. But a 20-year-old kid to knock down some threes when you really needed a three, that showed me something. But who impressed you from the Heat? Who disappointed you?
So I'll stick to Tyler for the impressed part, because when it came down to it, it looked as if they ran a set play for him in overtime to get a three, which you're trusting a 20-year-old kid when you've got, I don't even think, am I wrong on this? I don't even think Duncan was on the floor for that. Your best 3-point shooter. I do not believe he was, I got to look back at it, but I don't think he was on the floor for that play.
So, and I think it does tell you something, because I think mentally, right, you would feel like Tyler Hero is more predisposed for that kind of play in that kind of time than Duncan Robinson is.
Right. And look, I mean, here's from the disappointing standpoint, I mean, it's a majority of the team, because they had the chance. Someone should have stepped up and been like, hey, we got to refocus here. We can't just let this slip away. I think they had an 8-point, I think it was 192 at one point, 98-90 in the third or fourth quarter. And that's when Miami pulled away a little bit. And that's when they should have put the complete foot on the gas and just ended it right there. You get that to double digits, 12, 14 points. Oh, no, we've seen what happens to that Bucks team when they go down double digits in the second half. Something happens. We saw that incredible swing in game 3 late in the fourth quarter, where they went down 107-100 after Crowder hit that big shot, and now you've got Giannis throwing up 30-footers from 3-point, and they completely fall apart. Miami, I think as a team, it was disappointing to see them not. I don't know if UD had said something again like he had done in game 3 to try to get these guys going, but obviously the message just didn't seem to resonate there in that fourth quarter when they should have put him away. And you know what, though? For a team that doesn't have a lot of playoff experience, as you mentioned before, I mean, it is one game. If they're gonna have to go through some growing pains and some learning moments to figure out how to close a series. Because let's face it, the Pacers weren't as well equipped for the playoffs as the Bucks were or the Heat are, and so Miami's gonna have to learn through this. The thing I tell a lot of people when they ask, "Oh, can Miami make a run at the finals?" and I always say, because I think it across the board in the NBA, when you look at any superstar. Even you go back to Dwayne Wade, his first few years here, superstars tend to fail in the postseason somewhere along the way before they get over that hump. And there is a bit of learning that they have to do. We saw it happen to the Heat in 2005 against the Pistons. You know, Dwayne Wade and Shaq was there. They lose to the Pistons in the Eastern Conference Finals. He had to learn how to get over that hump. You saw LeBron have to learn to get over that hump. Hell, when we were watching The Last Dance this summer, you saw even Michael Jordan had to learn how to get over that hump. So these little things are learning experiences, but you have to learn from it. You have to make sure you don't let those mistakes happen again if you are going to make a run, because you're playing with house money right now. No one in the world thinks Miami's supposed to be in this series to begin with, let alone up 3-0 or 3-1.
Yeah, no, you're right. And they're 7-1 in the playoffs so far. So you'd take that going into this without hesitation.
Oh, yes. Miami can make a run. They're just starting their run. Telling you, they are running. And they are going to keep on running. Speaking of basketball, Toronto currently playing the Celtics. The Celtics up by a few, but it is very, very early in the game. The series feels like it's 3-1 Boston, but in fact, it's tied at 2. So we'll just have to wait and see. Very interesting, interesting, interesting. BYU going to be playing Navy at 8 o'clock tonight. College football, let's go! Thanks for hanging out with me on this Monday, though. I am Dan Day at Dan Day Radio on Twitter, and this is The Best of the Joe Show. Later, slug.
Oh, such a clutch pickup, Dave.
I know, right? I was worried we'd bring back the same team.
Oh, no, I meant those blackout motorized shades. MVP of the room.
Blinds.com made it crazy affordable to replace our old blinds.
Hard to install?
No, it's easy. Even you could do it.
Nice.
I installed these and then got some for my mom, too.
What, you fly across the country to do the install?
Nope. Blinds.com can do it all. All she had to do was pick what she wanted. She talked to a design consultant for free and scheduled a professional measure and install.
Look at you, a Hall of Fame son.
Oh, I just picked the winning team. They're the number one online retailer of custom window coverings in the world.
Oh, Blinds.com is the GOAT.
The GOAT.
He shoots. He scores.
Go to Blinds.com for up to 40% off and a 100% satisfaction guarantee. Go right now for up to 40% off at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.